The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Somebody had a cathartic experience yesterday, gentlemen, and his name is Aaron Rodgers, and we are here for all, just a release. Let it all out. Hi, Marcus Spears. Hi, Max Kellerman. I'm Molly Karam Rose. Unreal, right?
He put it on him.
I mean, unbelievable. Okay, so here's what we're talking about in case you didn't see it. Outside of a retirement presser, I cannot remember a time when a Hall of Fame caliber athlete has had a more real, candid, raw, and thoughtful press conference. Aaron Rodgers did that yesterday. It was 30 minutes discussing in detail all the factors that led to his strife with the Green Bay Packers, some of which didn't even involve him. Take a listen.
I wanted to help the organization. Maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated, and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room, high character guys. I'm talking about Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, James Jones, John Kuhn, Brett Goode, T.J. Lang, Brian Bulaga, Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde, guys who were, you know, exceptional players for us, but great locker room guys, high character guys. Many of them who weren't offered a contract at all, or were extremely lowballed, or were, you know, maybe in my opinion, not given the respect on the way out that guys of their status and stature and high character deserved. And I think we can all understand, you know, Green Bay isn't, a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me, to play with our team, and knowing that they can win a championship here. The rules, you know, are the same for most people, but every now and then there's some outliers. You know, guys who've been in an organization for 17 years and won a few MVPs, where they can be in conversations at a different higher level. I'm not asking for anything that other great quarterbacks across the last few decades have not gotten, you know, the opportunity to just be in conversation. You know, so if you're gonna cut a guy who, based on a meritocracy, was our second best receiver in training camp last year for the majority of camp, maybe run it by me, see what I feel. I might be able to change your mind. But at least to be in a conversation makes you feel like you're important, you're respected. And that's what I tried to convey in February and for the first couple months. But no, it hasn't been that. That's just the way they do it. You know, I don't necessarily agree with it, but objectively, there's been a lot of success here over the last 30 years. I just wanted to be a little bit more involved. And I understand that that's not the way it went.
You know what we're going to do, Max? We're going to take all that luggage that everyone's been carrying around, all the suitcases, and we are going to unpack it piece by piece. Let's go. First reactions from you.
First of all, that's the type of speech you give when you quit a job you think you're never going back to. Like, take this job and shove it. Like, that speech. Oh, my God, he put him on blast. Let me tell you something. What that was a takeover. Not just a takeover, but the takeover. See, everyone gets this most famous rap battle wrong. Jay-Z and Nas, Marcus. Everyone talks about you got ethered. And I get why, because it's Nas and he's great and all that. But ether was just throwing everything against the wall and let's see what sticks, right? Jay-Z in the takeover was surgical precision. And whether or not it was the truth, it sounded like the truth. He didn't say all that much. He had about 4 or 5 points and each one sounded true, right? So you're like, oh, that was what Aaron Rodgers just did to the Packers. That was a takeover. He killed them with what certainly sounded like the truth. And especially when you hear Brian Gutekunst, who went first, right? He talks to the press first, and he thinks, oh, this would be business as usual, right? So he's just like, come on, B, that's not
about that sad little press conference.
That is not even what it is. And then Rodgers came out and flamed them. Rodgers, I've been saying this all along, he's the boss in the sense that it's his mind you have to change. I said the Packers won this deal, Marcus, because in the end they bought themselves one more year to win a Super Bowl with an invested Aaron Rodgers, who's going to be invested in his teammates and winning a Super Bowl, and bought themselves 12 months to change his mind. But it has nothing to do with the decision they make. It is 100% the decision Aaron Rodgers makes, because that, my friends, was the takeover.
I like it. You bring it in that old rap history that you got, Max Kale. Listen, man, when I saw that interview, the first thing came to my mind, Max, to your point when he flamed him, is he still don't want to be there. This is one of the concessions that was made by the Green Bay Packers, to your point, to save face and potentially save a year. I think it's over. I thought it was over before. I was wrong. He returned, came back to camp. But when you look at that press conference, man, that's like walking in your house and telling your wife, I'm here until the kids go to college. And then I'm riding out. Because when you look an organization squarely in the face with their emblem on the podium and tell them how bad they are at decision-making, that is not the way you rectify a situation or work towards rectifying a situation. The second thing is this, though, Max, because I got to play devil's advocate. And look, as a player, man, I respect so much about what Aaron Rodgers said about how they let former players go out and it wasn't the right way and they should have consulted and all of those things. But Max, put Max on the camera.
I'm right here. I know where you're going with this.
You know what, Max? He signed that damn contract when it came up, didn't it? He took the money when it came to him. He took the money. Now I got love. I got love for what he said, bro. That's respectable. That's commendable. Looking out for the guys that he felt were wrong, either on their way out or at the end of their careers. But when that big money came up for Aaron Rodgers, he didn't bring all that up when he was signing his deal.
He's talking about give him a chance to come back at a reduced rate. Let's figure this out. Like the way he's really talking about Gutekunst and Murphy's people skills. He's not about the Packers brand or his teammates or the fans. He's talking about there are a couple of dudes. I don't like their bedside manner. I don't like the way they treat people, and I'm
You're
a person.
Absolutely right. And you know that's what this has been about. It's been about the interaction between people outside of the business part. But all of this transpired before he signed this deal. All of these dudes that he talked about that were treated wrong on their way out, coincidentally, what he's fighting about right now is how he's being treated on the way out. He knew all of that transpired before he signed for all that money with the Green Bay Packers. This is how they do things. And let me ask you this. Because, look, Aaron Rodgers has been wronged. If his input and the things that he thought would make this team better wasn't taken into account based on what he's done with the Green Bay Packers, he's absolutely right. But there's always another side to these particular situations. Because within that, he also said, it's been a lot of success around here for 30 years. Yep. And they've done a tremendous job as far as being relevant, staying in the midst of it. And we all know the history of the Green Bay Packers and Lambeau and all of those things. Mm-hmm. I can see both coins. I can see both things.
But Marcus,
and a lot of people don't like that.
Look, Gutekunst, let's take him as a GM. I agree. If you took every quarterback off every team and evaluated the rest of the roster, Packers are up there. They might not be the best, but they're closer to the best than the worst. They're pretty good. They're one of the better teams in the league. So that's Gutekunst, the GM, doing an excellent job. But this is something that must be said. If you dot all the I's and cross all the T's and you're really good at on the margins and paying attention to detail and building a good team, but you alienate your quarterback, who happens to be one of the greatest quarterbacks who ever lived, then you can't call yourself a good GM. Like, all the other good work you did, all that good work let's be honest, the biggest part of your job, the biggest part of your job is making sure you're good with that dude. That's number one, and he blew that. And now he's got 12 months to get the horse back in the barn. He's got 12 months to get the toothpaste back in the tube, right? That's not easy, but he's got to start trying. And yesterday's press conference from Gutekunst was a very bad start. I think if it would have occurred, talking to Tim Hasselbeck in my radio show, Max Kellerman show, 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. But he was making the point, he wonders what Gutekunst would have sounded like had he gone after Rodgers. Well, the next 12 months all happens after Rodgers' press conference. Let's see if he can get this done. Marcus, it may feel humiliating for a GM to kind of bow before a player, right? To kneel and scrape. But only if the GM lacks humility. The NFL is a league with military roots, West Point and all that, right? They don't want insubordination. They want chain of command. They want people to stay in their lane. They want them to know humility. Now it's time for a GM to follow suit. It's time for a GM to do what everyone asks the players to do all the time. He has 12 months to get it done.
Gutekunst did speak this morning. We'll more on that later. Marcus, before we move on, I want to play another soundbite. There's one thing I just want to ask your question about. Because when he was talking about retaining players and how they were let out the door, it's almost like you're trying to find the right way to do the wrong thing. Not saying that it's the wrong thing, but it's a business, right? At some point, you're going to need to get cut. Professional athlete only has so long to play. Was there any part of that you disagreed with him? Like, do you really think there's a big difference between one franchise and another and how they let guys out the door?
No, not at all, Molly. Not at all. And we've seen this all throughout the league. Look, I got a lot of respect for what Aaron Rodgers said, but publicly, everybody applauds that, as well as I. But I don't want people to be fooled that's watching us right now that every player that's had a long tenure in the NFL don't feel this way. That we haven't seen teammates and players be released that we thought should still be a part of the team. I was in Dallas when Jerry released T.O. For what? He had come off a 1,200-yard season and 10 touchdowns. Wow. Why would you let this guy go? We all had head scratchers in the locker room. We all were trying to figure out why would you do that, especially after you did so much to get him going against what Bill Parcells wanted to happen as far as him being the head coach. So we all have these stories. I guarantee every NFL player with 5 years of plus experience as far as playing and starting at a high level, feels bad about certain guys that were released. One of the guys that I thought that Dallas let go, one of my vets when I came in the league, was Greg Ellis. Greg Ellis went to Oakland and went to the Pro Bowl the next year. We knew he could still play. So this is not just in particular to Aaron Rodgers and how he feels about how Green Bay has managed things.
But communication is important. And another Tim Hasselbeck story from yesterday was he mentioned Eli Manning when he was with the Giants. Eli Manning, Molly, I'm sure you'll be interested in we're talking about the 07-08 Super Bowl now against the undefeated Patriots, the greatest team ever. They're about to be called the greatest team ever. But during the season, they weren't convinced about David Tyree. They thought he was the worst receiver in the core, right?
Yep.
And Eli Manning was like, no. I like that guy. He's not the fastest. He's not the biggest. I trust him. He's where he's supposed to be. Yeah. He's a team guy. We should not get rid of Tyree. So you know what the Giants did? They held on to Tyree. And you know what Tyree did? He held on to the ball in the Super Bowl for one of the greatest catches in American history. If it touched a blade of grass, no good. But they won the Super Bowl because they had David Tyree, because they listened to their veteran quarterback. And Eli Manning was no Aaron Rodgers. But when he gave input, they took it seriously. They weren't arrogant enough to tell him to get in your place.
He deserves that.
Absolutely.
I just had to ask the question because I feel like I have so much respect for Aaron Rodgers right now and his heart and his character and everything that he showed. But there was part of me, I had a little pause, and I hate as a woman more than anything when someone calls you sensitive or emotional. And I said, is he being too sensitive or too emotional here in terms of just focusing on the humanity when it's really actually a business? So that's why I just wanted to clear that up with you, Marcus. But let's keep going. I want to play a very telling soundbite here where Aaron Rodgers caught himself. Pay attention.
That's why I just have to focus on this season. And I love this team. I love the fans. And the opportunity to play on Lambeau Field has been a dream come true. To be in my 17th season is really special. I don't take that for granted.
You know, Marcus, you saw this press conference and you were like, I'm on my boss-ish. I'm going to break out the new look, the fresh shades, because Aaron Rodgers got me hype like that. Your reaction to that?
He don't love the organization. That's number one.
No,
I mean, I know he said it later on. I believe later on he said he loved the organization, but he doesn't. And everything, listen, we have this press conference from Aaron Rodgers. And we have a full offseason of Aaron Rodgers who got up there and said, I didn't say anything. That was the damn problem, that you didn't say nothing. You didn't say anything about what this franchise or organization did, in particular, to upset you and make you mad. But everybody knew. And then he talked about the reports. There were no leaks from my side. Well, somebody was telling Adam Schefter something, because you confirmed every damn thing he reported about what was going on with you and the Green Bay Packers. But he don't love the organization. And I know you. This is to Max's point. This is, I'm going to do what I have to do so I could do what I want to do. And that concession that Green Bay made, Green Bay has to be careful not to put themselves in a bad situation going forward. But also the concessions that needed to be made up until this point, they got Aaron Rodgers back in the building. He still don't want to be there, though.
Well, once again, I have to give credit where credit's due, and that's to Tom Brady. Because, Molly, the reason that Tom Brady is the GOAT, something that you've pointed out a lot, and I may have underestimated, was his decision-making and his leadership. Because maybe those are the most, like, maybe that outweighs even Mahomes and Rodgers' athletic ability. They also have leadership and decision-making. But leadership and decision-making, Brady, nobody is as good as Brady, right? And he has led the way once again with his decision that, you know what, I don't like the way things are going. I'm taking pay cuts, basically. I don't like the way you're spending my money. You're not drafting well. I need more. And he wound up leaving. And once he left, and he did it a new kind of way, it wasn't Belichick's way anymore, he started being more honest in public, more candid in public. And I think that Rodgers not only saw what Brady did by leaving the team, but also saw the way Brady is interacting with the media and with the fans and his level of public honesty and candor now. And Tom Brady, obviously, to me, blazed a trail. And here comes Aaron Rodgers.
That's a great point, because it's hard to live closeted, right, at some point. Yeah. And they were at the golf tournament together, and it was very telling because Brady came out and said, essentially, that Aaron Rodgers is handcuffed. You know, he's not respected. He doesn't want to be there. But it sounded like Brady already knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Molly. I believe 100% Aaron Rodgers wants a new place. He wants a new place. He wants listen. The dude has put in major work. We've all talked and lamented about the great things he's done in Green Bay. Sometimes it's time for a scene change. And I think this one particular year that he decided to come back, that's why I don't agree with you, Max. I don't agree that the 12 months of change in his mind. I believe Aaron Rodgers' mind. I believe his mind is already made up.
They got a shot.
Because he's there every day. I understand that. But I think his shot is going to evolve somewhere on the West Coast or closer to where he wants to be.
They're having a party in Denver right now. 1 year, countdown to Aaron Rodgers.
Or they're crying. Obviously, this press conference was 30 minutes in its entirety. It was riveting. We'll play more of it later and react to it. But, guys, it's only the first day of training camp, but Patrick Mahomes is already doing showtime things. Come on now. With his signature no-look pass, Mahomes' no-look pass has took the NFL by storm in his 2018 breakout campaign. We're here for all of it. And obviously, we've been talking a lot about Brady and Rodgers, but let's not forget about this guy, because he is something special. Max, when we're looking at the Chiefs, though, besides Mahomes, which player is really the key to their success?
Orlando Brown Jr. I mean, I cannot believe the Ravens. I know Baltimore had to do some things. They had to get some relief and all this. You trade him to the Chiefs? Wait a minute. The Chiefs' offensive line was in shambles.
Trade people to the Chiefs.
It was in shambles, right? Like, the reason they lost the Super Bowl, first and foremost, is no quarterback in the history of the Super Bowl ever been pressured on as many snaps as Patrick Mahomes. And everyone was covered. They didn't have to bring any extra guys. No offensive line. So how do they fix it? And they also signed Tooney. That's amazing. Their left side is locked down. They got Blythe from the Rams. He may not even start. They're deep now, and they're good, and Remmers is good on the right side. But the best player is your left tackle. And you mean to tell me you bring in a premium left tackle from your maybe chief rival in the NFC, so to speak, chief rival in the NFC, and in the AFC, rather? Now, think about Patrick Mahomes. What we're going to remember from last year's Super Bowl, the plays were going to be all Patrick Mahomes. He was the most spectacular player in the Super Bowl while he was running for his life. Now he knows his blind side's good, right? He has at a Pro Bowl level blind side protection. good Lord, what's about to happen to the NFL?
Man, I got to give my boy Dan Orlovsky some credit because he talked about this is going to be the best version of the Chiefs offense that we've seen. And to your point, Max, Orlando makes that happen. I'm going to go a little bit unconventional with my guy, Mecole Hardman. I think they need a second receiver to step up. I think he needs to be a five-tool player. Max, you love baseball. I think he needs to create for this offense because between Tyreek and Travis Kelce, we all know that they are going to have success, and Patrick Mahomes is going to be able to get them to rock. But I believe Mecole Hardman can be a game changer. He's explosive. We all know how good he is with the ball in his hands. But remember, Sammy Watkins went to Baltimore.
Yeah, he's gone.
And now you have an opportunity to step up in that number two receiver spot and really become a guy in this offense that Patrick Mahomes not only counts on, but another explosive play type of guy. Because when we all know, Max, to your point, the consensus is you always got to have an offensive line. Like, we learned that. The most important unit on a football team is the offensive line because the quarterback got to be protected, and the quarterback is the most important player as an individual. But when I look at this offense and I look at explosiveness, and you think about how – because this is one thing Patrick Mahomes doesn't get credit for, and we always talk about the no-look throws, and we talk about Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Patrick Mahomes loves to spread the football around.
Yeah, don't let Mecole take a step. If he takes a step forward in development, like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Max, think about it. Think about if Mecole Hardman becomes Emmanuel Sanders when Emmanuel Sanders starts rolling.
It's impossible.
Like, they unguardable as much as they've been unguardable already. So I look at him, and I know a lot of people have different opinions, but when you look at now that this offensive line is intact, focusing on these skill position players, and thinking about what they lost at the wide receiver. Because, look, Sammy Watkins wasn't great, but he was reliable. He was dependable. He was another guy that Patrick Mahomes had full confidence in that if I need to get him the ball, he's going to deliver for
me.
And was huge in the playoffs. Dude, listen, Mecole Hardman steps up and becomes that guy at the number two. It's over.
I bet you they're loving right now because doesn't it feel like the Chiefs are flying under the radar a little bit, as ridiculous as that sounds, with all the Bucks running it back and all their rings and this Aaron Rodgers stuff and the Chiefs just, you know, no-look passing people.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Matthew Stafford is headed to L.A. in exchange for quarterback Jared Goff, of course.
This team is Super Bowl caliber now with Matt Stafford at quarterback.
J.J. Watt has chosen his team. He'll be an Arizona Cardinal.
Wow.
A.J. Green, for the first time in his pro career, he's not a Bengal, signing a one-year deal with the Cardinals.
Make no mistake, Arizona is going to be a force to be reckoned with.
The San Francisco 49ers select Trey Lance.
Welcome to the 49ers, buddy.
I'm not sure if I'm available or not. I definitely believe they've gotten calls for sure.
Wilson has not demanded a trade. He does have a short list of teams.
Just letting everybody know we're still friends, you know.
Hey.
Just messing
with
you.
I love that. Camp Takes, let's take a look at the odds. Caesars William Hill on the NFC West. It's a loaded division, to say the least, with the Rams and new quarterback Matthew Stafford as a slight favorite over San Francisco. Not sure who the quarterback's going to be there. And Seattle. They're on the Cardinals, who went 8-8 last year, and you might have the best division in NFL. We bring in two-time Super Bowl champ Rob Ninkovich to Camp Takes. Rob, good to see you. Where is he? There he is. You were excellent on Get Up this morning talking about the Rodgers stuff. Really interesting stories. But we're not going to focus on that now. We are going to focus on the NFC West. So who's the odd man out?
I think it's Arizona. I think Arizona is going to be probably last in that division. I say that because you look at the Rams and what they've been able to do. They go out and they get a quarterback, a guy that they finally feel can get them back to where they were when they lost the Super Bowl. Then you can't go against Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. You just can't bet against those guys. They're always going to be competitive. And then the 49ers, you know, with Shanahan at the helm, you know, running the offense and the new quarterback, and there's a lot of things that are going to be exciting. I do love Kyler Murray, but the one thing that I think could possibly get them in trouble in Arizona is just the physical toll that he takes and the damage that he takes. Last year, week 8 against Miami, he rushed for 108 yards. And then the next week they play Buffalo. Guess what? He tweaks his hamstring. And then from that point on, he really couldn't run the football. I think his the next best rushing statistic was about 6 weeks later. He rushed for 75 yards. And then other than that, it was like 15 yards, 3 yards, another 15 yard. And they're going to have him out of the pocket moving. So, again, I think that the Rams are the clear-cut team in that division. And it's going to be an exciting year. I can't wait to watch that division.
I thought the Rams were the clear-cut team. And let me say it like this. The NFC West, I think any one of these teams, Rob, can win the Super Bowl. I think any one of these teams are capable of doing that, includes Arizona, notwithstanding what you said. Like, how much does J.J. Watt have left? How much does A.J. Green have left? What kind of tandem will he make with DeAndre Hopkins? Possibly an elite one. We'll see. There's a and what kind of leap does Kyler Murray take? If you want to ask me who's the odd team out, I'm actually going to go with San Francisco, and I'll tell you why. It's not the way I look at the team. I think it's the way they're looking at themselves internally. When you spend that much draft capital to move up in the draft, to draft a quarterback, when you could maybe run back what you did a couple years again and get to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo, why not? Maybe this time he hit, you design a play and he hits the guy, right? He hits Emmanuel Sanders. He hits whoever they design the play for and you win the Super Bowl. The 50-50 kind of throw, maybe next time he makes it. I think they think that's a possibility in San Francisco. Hey, let's wait and see. We'll start with Jimmy G. We'll see where this goes. But do you draft a rookie quarterback who has a chance to start sometime in his rookie season if you think you're going to win the Super Bowl? No rookie quarterback's even ever gotten there, right? Not that it'll never happen, but I don't think that's your plan. So my sense is that in San Francisco, they think they're a little farther away than we do outside San Francisco. And for that reason, in a division where you could pick any one of these teams to finish first or last, Seattle's defense should be better. Cam Akers goes down. Normally you'd say, well, a running back shouldn't move the odds that much. But in an offense where you saw what he did with Goff and Gurley, what could he have done with Stafford and Akers? Now, that's not going to be there the same way. I think in a division like this, anyone could finish first or last. You make me choose who's going to be the odd team out. I'm actually going to take the Niners.
I think that could possibly happen. I really do. I mean, you look at the way that they went out this offseason. When there's a quarterback controversy, it could always kind of mess up the mojo of the offense. But I do believe in the 49ers defense. I think that they could be running a really game. Special unit. And you look at the division, I think if you look at that division, defense, honestly, you talk about the quarterbacks, but it's really going to come down to what defense is going to come out on top. The Rams, I mean, you think about the fronts and the pass rush that we're looking at in that division. You got the Rams, you got Aaron Donald, you got Bosa with the 49ers. The Seattle, they're going to have a better season this year. But then you look at Arizona, they got Chandler Jones. Hopefully, you know, they figure things out and he gets back in the mix. J.J. Watt, how are they going to come and help that team out? So, really, we're talking about the offense, we're talking about the quarterbacks, we're talking about the receiver, we're talking all offense, but really the defense, I think, is going to really set apart the teams that are first or the team that ends last in that division.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing about Kyler Murray, and I hear what you're saying, the injuries and it could rack up and everything, he made improvements from year one to year two. He had a very good rookie year, made improvements to year two. A lot of times guys go from, like, that's that big jump, but then they turn great. Right? Like, when does a young player get great? Yeah, sometimes that's year three. They have, especially if they've been starting for two straight years. If Kyler Murray takes that jump, look out for Arizona. And I feel like he's
playoffs?
Poised to do it.
Playoffs, Max?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm telling you, I don't know how to rank these teams. Mm-hmm. If you make me, I'll take San Francisco last, but This is the most competitive division in football, in my opinion.
Rob, do you think Arizona will go to the playoffs?
I think they'll just miss it this year. I think they need another year. I mean, you're right, Max, about that third year. I mean, look, he could just go skyrocket up and he could double the touchdown production and he could really produce this season. But there are a lot of question marks as far as durability, but then also defensively, can they keep up? I think Arizona, like you said, this division of all divisions in football right now, it's a toss-up between which team is going to beat the other teams twice, which teams are going to win the division. The other teams that they have to play throughout the season could affect the standings. So last year being 8-8, it's hard for me to think that they're going to drastically be a 13-win football team. So I think they just miss it. But we'll see how that third year comes with Kyler. Some third-year players, they plateau at 2, and then they kind of they don't take off. Mm-hmm. So it's all going to depend, first of all, on health and his durability, because we did see last year when he had a little injury, it affected him a lot in his ability to move and get out of the pocket. Every highlight I see of Kyler Murray, it's literally he's lightning quick on the edge. He's beating people to the edge for a touchdown. He stops your feet. He gets to the edge. Once he had that hamstring and he couldn't run like that, that was pretty much it. Teams were like, all right, let's bottle him up, keep him in the pocket, let him throw from the tight pocket where he can't look over the big offensive linemen that are huge in front of him. So we're going to see, and he's going to go against a defensive front like the Rams. They're going to get after him. So it should be interesting to see how he does do on this third season.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to wrap it up, I know I'm talking about the NFC, not just the NFC West now, but talking about San Francisco. I'm still so surprised odds makers, even with Aaron Rodgers, have the Niners ahead of the Packers. I find that mind-boggling, especially with the questions with the quarterback. But
you can run the ball and you can play defense. I think, you know, there's only so far that they think you'll drop.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Have I mentioned that it's draft day right across the bridge at Barclays Center in Brooklyn? Barring a trade, the Pistons, Detroit basketball, they got the first pick, followed by Houston, Cleveland, Toronto, and Orlando. 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Radio, and the app. Our coverage actually starting 7:30 on ESPN. That's right after SportsCenter. Let's go. All right, so looking at the latest mock draft from Jonathan Givony, Oklahoma State's Cade Cunningham looks to be the consensus number one. After that, it's really unclear.
Jalen Green really stock rose.
Huh? Right, yeah. For sure. They've got him second, and then the Cavs take USC's Evan Mobley, and then the Raptors with Gonzaga's Jalen Suggs. So many Jalens. Shout to my mother-in-law. Okay, we welcome in NBA insider and analyst Jordan Schultz. Jordan, so good to see you.
Great to be here.
Yes, excited. It's draft day. But first, you had some interesting news hot off the press.
Yeah, so obviously it's draft day. You want to be strategic. Kyrie Irving is going to be firing Roc Nation, which is a pretty big deal. He's now going through his second agent in less than 2 years. And, you know, it just happened. I'm not sure exactly what it means from a strategic standpoint. But it does matter when you think about the grand scheme of draft day, the Nets, and what Kyrie Irving wants to be.
Yeah. Wow.
I've only had two agents, but I know when you get rid of an agent, you're disgruntled about something.
He's going through an agent a year.
Yeah, and now, but there's something you're not happy about.
Yeah, and Rock will have about 10 days to try and fix it, appease it. But Kyrie Irving firing Rock Nation on draft day.
On draft day.
It's interesting. It's a nugget.
Timing is interesting. Remember Aaron Rodgers, what went down on draft day. But that kind of worked out. All right, so let's dive into some of those names because you got the knowledge and I want to know. So the projected board. Let's start with Cade Cunningham. Why is he that consensus number one?
So Cade Cunningham is really the classic modern day point guard when we think about size, 6'8", mm-hmm. 220, and his ability to manipulate pick and roll. Now, when NBA teams look at Cade Cunningham, they see a guy that plays the pick and roll three ways. He has his man, he reads, then the next read is the drop man, the big, the guy in help coverage, and then now as a result of being able to do that, he's now able to get downhill and create two-on-one and three-on-two condensed half-court situations. That's where you see the lob, the dunk shot. He has a really good stop and pop game. His pick and roll floater is very good. He has got that size and strength to finish, and obviously extremely unselfish as well. So Cade Cunningham, from the full package standpoint of manipulating pick and roll in the half court, which you need in the playoffs, as we saw, he has it.
So who's the comp? He's good. If he goes number one overall, who's the comp in the NBA right now or ever?
Well, I see Luka Doncic. I see a lot of that. Unselfish, same size, similar length. Pedigree for Cade Cunningham is elite. You know, when we think about Doncic, he was 18. He wins the EuroLeague MVP. That will never happen again. Cade Cunningham has been the number one player in his draft class for the last 3 years. He has maintained that throughout a lot of pressure, a lot of really good players coming up behind him, and he has been that guy. And like Doncic, he's able to control the game without scoring, and also when he has the ball in his hands, he doesn't need to have the elite quickness. He has that great pace and three-level scoring that you need from an elite
you
point
like,
guard.
You mentioned like Luka was like supernaturally confident and mature. And you think Cade fits into that profile?
I do. I think he is the full package. And when you talk to people around him, they say, great kid, worker, wants to be great. Now, we hear that a lot during the draft.
Yeah.
But Cade Cunningham is the full package in terms of what you would want if you're the Detroit Pistons.
Okay, so tell me this. Tom Gore's team, the city of Detroit.
They need it.
11 guys named Jalen in this draft, and Jalen wants Cade.
Right? No, but honestly, with talking about Cade, like how much of a difference maker is he if they get him right now? Are we talking playoffs?
No, not playoffs, because that roster still is depleted. Yeah. But he now gives you the path 3-4 years down the road of – elite young player, guys will want to come play with him because he's so unselfish. Mm-hmm. And I think he's the kind of player and human that Detroit needs. You know, the Pistons haven't had for 10, 15 years since the, you know, Chauncey and Rip and Tayshaun. They haven't had a franchise
cornerstone.
That's Cade Cunningham, and that's why he's been so talked about for the number one pick for so long.
All right, so the Lions, back to the Lions for 3 or 4 years.
That's quite a comp.
Yeah. Lions is another story.
So. Yeah. Jalen Green, you have him going 2 overall to Houston, or most people do.
Yeah, and Mike Schmitz is right on that. I think with Houston, what have they loved for so long? They love wings. The NBA needs wings. Jalen Green is an explosive 6'5", 180-pound wing that can attack downhill. We talk about three-level scoring. He has it. He really elevates, too. You know, we talk about below-the-rim finishers, at the rim, and then above the rim. Jalen Green is an above-the-rim finisher who really elevates, and he also loves the big game. If you go back to the G League bubble in the playoffs, mm-hmm. this guy got better every week, and the final game, which they lost, he goes for 30-plus and dominated. And he was the best player on the floor for a lot of that bubble against grown men, NBA-caliber players. Mm-hmm. That's Jalen Green.
Elite athletic wings are really, we're in a point guard lead. We're in a big lead.
We need wings.
And yet the elite athletic wings are the guys you want, right? Who is the comp?
T-Mac, Kobe. That's the explosiveness with this kid, though, because with those guys, when they got on the open floor, they were dominant. And you knew what was going to happen. You look at T-Mac highlights here, young T-Mac, young Kobe. That is exactly the type of talent that Jalen Green is. And as he gets older and fills out, gets up to 190, 200, he'll be able to get that T-Mac kind of mid-post game, that Kobe patented low-post game as he gets stronger.
This is a lot for me to take right now.
Now, I'm not saying he's Kobe and T-Mac, but when you ask around the league about who does Jalen Green remind you of if he's able to reach his ceiling, mm-hmm. those are the types of names that you're hearing.
Wow, it's a lot.
Okay, let's jump down the board a bit. Jordan, tell me what you know about Scottie Barnes.
Scottie Barnes, this guy has a lot. From an offensive standpoint, maybe the most exciting player in this draft. Great footwork, 6'9", 7'3", wingspan, extremely long. Didn't shoot it super well at Florida State, but really good mechanically as well. Leonard Hamilton, their head coach, has talked about Scottie Barnes as being one of the most unbelievable players he's ever been around. And Scottie Barnes is also that kind of kid with the three-level ability. You see the stop-and-pop game, the ability to get to the basket. He's 6'9", he's only 18, 19 years old. He might grow a little bit more. He'll get more into that frame. With Scottie Barnes, you're getting right now an NBA-ready offensive player.
Is the reason he's not even higher in this draft because of the shooting? You know, in today's NBA game, if you can't shoot it from the outside, you're devalued a bit, right?
100%. But that, listen, I heard one scout said he has Giannis-like qualities. So Giannis, obviously, Max, still working on his shooting, improved. Scottie Barnes has good mechanics, way better mechanics than Giannis did at that age. But you can start to see. Now, I don't think Scottie's in that class of athleticism, but the length and the ability to manipulate, look at that beautiful behind-the-back ball screens, that's Scottie Barnes. Also super intelligent and a really unselfish playmaker.
So what's the comp?
I think it's Giannis.
It is Giannis.
It's a smaller version, but that's the type of – that's why Scottie Barnes, for a long time, you heard maybe he could go one, maybe he could go two, and you mentioned the shooting. But mechanically, he's sound, and he's talked about, I feel I've already become a better shooter. And I was told in workouts he shot the ball a lot better than he did during the season.
It's weird because it's like rebounding is the thing you think that, like, effort, you just get better, right?
Rebounding is a skill, though.
It's a skill, but shooting, actually, guys do improve it.
Yes.
Right? More than even rebounding, it seems like, when it should be the opposite, but somehow it's not.
Muscle memory, reps, 500 threes, makes a day. That's how you get better as a shooter, and that's what he's been doing.
Yeah, Ben Simmons is working on that.
Ben Simmons got to just shoot it in the game one time.
Yeah, exactly.
Lastly, James Bouknight. Why do you like him?
Oh, my goodness. This is one of my favorite players in the draft. Yeah? Now, I sound like a broken record because I love all these kids.
Yeah.
James Bouknight, 6'5". He is one of the high risers. I've been talking about Bouknight for the last 3 months. He comes back to Storrs for his second season and has an explosive year. One of the premier scorers in the draft. He's been unbelievable in workouts. A couple teams told me one of the best shooting workouts they've ever seen. And you see Jamal Murray there. That's the type of combo guard that we're going to see with James Bouknight. He's a little bigger than Murray, a little more explosive. But the pick and roll ability, the ability to really play one and a half, both guard positions. That's Jamal Murray, and that's what James Bouknight is, and that's why he's really gone from 15 to 20 up into that top 10 and why he's one of the most coveted guards in this draft.
How tall is Bouknight?
Bouknight's about 6'5".
Yeah, right. That's not a small guard, even for a combo
guard. You know the pedigree he has.
UConn. Ray Allen. I mean, I talked to Alex
Buzel. UConn. Huskies.
Yeah, his skills trainer, and he was saying this kid in a two-day workout didn't miss a shot. Like, he has really improved.
What happens in Storrs at Gamble. Those are the kind of
Gamble
things
Pavilion.
That happen.
Max no Calvin.
I know you haven't been up there with the cows, but that's what happens. Yeah. All right, churning out all-stars.
Well, you certainly can't argue with the success of the women's team, right? Like, what are you going to say?
Yeah, okay.
What are you going to say?
Yeah, the men are coming back, too. I believe in Healy. All right, speaking of all-stars, how many all-star caliber players tonight?
I think 6 or 8. Plus several frontline NBA starters, third and fourth options.
Hold on. 6 to 8 all-stars.
Yeah. So we just named four.
There's a difference between an all-star and a perennial all-star, right?
Sure.
Like, a guy makes an all-star team versus a guy lives at the all-star game. How many of these dudes from this draft will live at the all-star game in their careers?
I think 5 or 6, because we haven't even talked about Evan Mobley.
That's a good question.
And then you have Sugun from Turkey, the 6'11 kid, who is incredible, Super League Turkish MVP at 18. That's unprecedented. We go back a little bit. We start to think about Trey Mann, Sharif Cooper. These are high-level NBA players who in a normal draft would be lottery picks.
Wow. I mean, that's if you talk about 5 or 6 perennial All-Stars, one of the greatest drafts of all time, if it turns out.
It's not. It might be 0-3-96-y.
His energy is kind of infectious. I feel even more excited about the draft
I'm really
now.
Excited to watch this draft because
I'm
love all these kids. Now, Max.
I can tell. I see the enthusiasm.
Now, Max, when I'm wrong in 3 years, I'll maybe buy you a beer.
But. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't at me. All right. We'll see more of you later. Also, don't want to bury the lead, though.
Okay,
Kyrie Irving firing his agent also on draft day. Interesting timing. Maybe we'll have more on that. Guys, the NBA draft, it's tonight. It's starting at 7:30 Eastern. And Jordan will be back with us in just a bit.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.